Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text for today's message is today's gospel, especially when Jesus responds to them and he says, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So we went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, I have a phone that has not that many apps. In fact, the last time I got a new phone, I think it took like 2 minutes to transfer all my stuff to my new phone. It usually takes a little longer than that. And so I don't have a lot of clutter. And one of the apps that I had for maybe an hour was Waze. I don't know who has Waze. Didn't last long for me, I'll tell you that, because it seemed like a really good idea because it takes all these things, factors all these things into your trip. And basically, you're not telling them which way you want to go. It's supposed to tell you which way you should go. And it factors in speed traps. Right? Be a little picture of an angry policeman, you know? And it'll factor in traffic, it'll factor in weather, it'll factor in closed roads. All these things are factored in, and it'll give you the best way possible. Really, what it's giving you is the quickest way possible. But the reason I got rid of it is because it kept changing all the time. And I was looking for a simple way, like to get to the airport. Instead, it had me going on streets I had never heard of before in North Portland. I had no idea where I was going, so I just forgot all about it and ditched it, and I never had it since. Because early in my life, I learned to avoid shortcuts. Okay, that they usually do not pan out too well. Where I really learned this lesson was, like in 1980, I was hiking on the Appalachian Trail. I hiked the entire length of Virginia. So if you ever look at the Appalachian Trail up by Harper's Ferry, kind of that area, all the way down to North Carolina. And I had a topographical map. It turned out it wasn't all that great. So every once in a while I'd see, oh, a shortcut here. This is great. The trail then is different than it was, than it is now. Now all of the land that the Appalachian Trail goes through is owned by the Appalachian Trail Company. Back then it wasn't. And so I took one shortcut and it ran me into a river. I had to double back, lost a whole day. I took another shortcut, ran me into a ridge, couldn't get past that, so I had to double back and come, lost a whole day there. And then another time, I found myself on private property. I could tell because I saw lots of signs saying they didn't want me on their property. And I just got that song in my head. And that's, people disappear all the time on that trail because of things like that. So from that point on, I try to avoid, I don't want the quickest way, I want the simplest way. Well, today we see these guys traveling to their hometown of Emmaus, and it's very simple. It's not that far away. It's just northwest of Jerusalem, about 7 miles. And there is really no shortcut, and yet they find themselves, kind of ironically, taking a shortcut spiritually in their faith life. As we look at this, we see that they are kept from recognizing Jesus. But I think there's another reason, too, why they're not recognizing Jesus right away. So Jesus, who they don't know it is him, walks up to them and says, "What are you guys talking about?" And they say, "Well, we're talking about everything that happened in Jerusalem." And Jesus says, "What's been happening in Jerusalem?" And that question would be the equivalent of me the day after September 11th in New York City asking some New Yorkers who were talking, "What are you guys talking about, the Yankees?" No. Look at all the things that had taken place. A trial had taken place. Three men had been crucified right before the Sabbath day. During that crucifixion, there was a mysterious and supernatural darkness over the land. An earthquake took place. The curtain in the temple was torn in two. People rose from the dead. And now they say that Jesus has risen from the dead. That's a lot of stuff going on for him to miss. And so they explain all this to Jesus. And then Jesus says what? He says, "Oh, foolish ones. How can you have missed what was so incredibly obvious?" And really, the center and the most focal point of this whole text, I think, is verse 27. Because notice, Jesus doesn't just all of a sudden open their eyes and say, "I'm Jesus." Instead, he says, in the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I used to always think that the real most important part of this text is when Jesus broke the bread and revealed himself physically to them. I think the most important point of the text is where Jesus, well, basically gives them heartburn. Did you hear that? You know, our hearts are burning within us, right? That doesn't happen later. That happens while they're walking, as Jesus is opening scripture to them. He's opening their hearts and he's giving them faith. Now, keep in mind, it's very important that they saw Jesus physically had risen from the dead with their own eyes. That's important because it builds their faith. They're filled with joy. They run back to Jerusalem and tell the good news to everybody, especially the disciples. That's great. That they saw Jesus physically risen is important. But how they believe is just as important, if not more so. It's how they believe. When we look at this text and we look at the promises that Jesus has made after this text, we'll be talking about that in a couple weeks when Jesus ascends into heaven. He promises that he will return. He's made that promise even before he died. He said, "Someday I will return." Now, another thing Jesus says is he doesn't know the time, only the Father knows. Yet even though Jesus doesn't know, even today, doesn't know the time of the end when he's returning, there's a couple things I think Jesus did know. Number one, I think Jesus was pretty sure his return was not going to be immediate, like everybody else thought. I don't know if he thought it was going to be 2,000 plus years and counting, and yet it's taken a while. So he knew that, and secondly, he also knew that no matter what length of time until he returned with the second coming, he's not going to be popping in and out of all of his disciples' lives every time they're a little sad, every time they're upset, every time their faith gets weak. That's not what he's going to be doing. So what has Jesus given us? The same thing he gave these two disciples. Two things. The Holy Spirit and his word. In his second letter to the church in Thessalonica, Paul's dealing with a congregation that's having a lot of problems. A lot of fear. People have been spreading the rumor that Jesus has already returned and you missed it. He didn't make it to heaven. Paul has a really good way of, getting rid of that idea by saying, "Well, if that's the case, then I missed it too. Do you think I missed it?" Good point. I don't think so. The second thing that people were thinking is that if their loved ones died before Jesus came back, that they wouldn't go to heaven. And that was troubling a lot of people. So Paul goes at length in 2 Thessalonians to explain that none of this is true. And then he says something really important. And he says, look, your loved ones are going to rise before you do and be caught up and go to heaven. Then you will. And the promise of that is what? It's a promise that is guaranteed, as he says, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guarantees that that promise is going to come true. And so that's the first thing, the Holy Spirit. How about the Word? I'd say some of the most important and familiar words about God's Word is from Psalm 119. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. Well, Jesus leads us in a path that's not always bright. Sometimes it's very dark. It's not that fun. And sometimes we certainly don't agree which way he's leading us. It's very difficult. These are times of doubt and times of fear and sadness. But look at the example of these two disciples. Even though they don't recognize Jesus, he's still walking right by their side, isn't he? The entire way. He's there even though they don't know it. And I'm glad we have the example of these two disciples on their way to Emmaus. Because their faith, I think, is a more important example of our own faith than Peter, than Thomas, than Mary Magdalene. Doesn't take a lot of faith when Jesus just pops in there and says, howdy, right? It does to believe when you have not seen, as Jesus said last week. And so we give thanks that we've had the same gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of faith. Faith to know the truth of the resurrection, faith to know the promise of the resurrection, and faith to trust that that promise is for us and for our children and for our loved ones. I thank God that he's given us these gifts so that we can go through our life and rejoice in the promise of our Savior. And we have something even better than these Emmaus disciples had. We have a greater word of God because we got all the New Testament, and guess what else we have? We got their story. They didn't have that. I thank God that he has given us his word, and through that word he's given us faith, and through that faith he gives us the same joy they experienced that day. In Jesus' name, amen.